Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of ARG Presents. I am Amigo Aaron, joined by a man that puts the wizard into Dick Smith Wizard, the Brent. What's the good word, Brent?
Wow, that was much better, Aaron. Well done.
Well, I would keep it G-rated, my friend. How are you today? Still remote.
I am doing well. How about yourself?
I feel pretty good, man. I'm excited. This is my kind of show where we go back and try one of these old systems. For those of you that didn't catch us last week, we spun the wheel, we made the deal. And this week, and I'm excited for this one, as you know, this week we'll be looking at games on the Dick Smith Wizard. Dick Smith Wizard, Brent.
Would you say Dick Smith Wizard / CreativeVision?
I would say that, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say Dick Smith Wizard / CreativeVision. It's funny to think about this machine because it had about a million different names.
Yes.
Over the years. Now, do you remember when we played this on the Thanks for Giving Marathon?
Absolutely. We played two incredible games.
Yeah, we did have we played, I believe it was Police Chase, and yep. What was the, do you remember the helicopter one? Chopper Rescue or something like that.
Chopper Rescue.
It was sort of like a Zaxxon-y affair. That we enjoyed both those games, and so when this came, we sort of went back through and to give each one of these systems a fair shake, and we've stuck them on the wheel, and so it was real joyous to come back to this one. The first time I heard about the Dick Smith Wizard and the Dick Smith System 80 was from our buddy the Huck, who had mentioned them, did a video, I believe, on the System 80 that we played on the Amigathon. Now, let's get into this thing a little bit, Brent, because this thing certainly is an interesting piece of kit.
Yes.
Of course, Dick Smith, for those of you that aren't in the know, is a retail outlet in Australia. Although we found an ad where they had actually sold things and had a store in, or at least a mail order business in California. So that was kind of neat that that they actually sold in the U.S. I would never have guessed that. It's I think mostly electronics now, but I think at one time it was a little bit more. And the best thing about Dick Smith stores is there's every one of them is this cheesy picture of Dick Smith on it, grinning like an idiot. Everything about those stores, it looks like it was hand drawn, you know, including the logo for the Dick Smith Wizard. This big, gaudy looking. I mean, it looks like something you might draw when you were bored in class, doesn't it, Brent?
Well, you know what I mean? I think it's a little more than that, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
Brent's in front of a Dick Smith Wizard if you're watching the video, but the Wizard itself was an interesting console. It debuted in 1982. All right. Now again, we've mentioned this before. This was actually Dick Smith Wizard was not really sort of manufactured by Dick Smith. The outfit that put this thing together was called a VTech, and this was actually the Dick Smith Wizard was sort of a knockoff, or not a knockoff. It was a different version of what's called a CreativeVision, and there were tons of these things all over the world, weren't there, Brent? There were even plans to bring the CreativeVision to the States. I don't think they ever quite came to fruition. This thing had a Rockwell 6502 2 megahertz processor in it. This thing was very similar its abilities were very similar, like ColecoVision or Intellivision. It was somewhere in that ballpark. In fact, I believe there was an addition that you could get that would let you play ColecoVision on it, like an add-on.
Yes.
So it was pretty close to that. This thing was real big in Europe. It was real big in places like West Germany, Austria, Switzerland, South Africa, which is cool. And there was it was called the EduCat 2002, which I like that name. Although Dick Smith Wizard's better because it got Dick Smith in there. So the what makes the Dick Smith Wizard so interesting to me, and we've got to look at this thing, is the actual layout. If you look at it, and for those of you listening, I'll explain it to you. Picture a brown box, and the controllers look a lot like a ColecoVision. sort of. But except on the keypad, when you lay the two controllers down and they fit in the box, they form a keyboard. So
well,
it's like
yeah,
a well, I mean, they form like a touchpad keyboard, Brent.
They definitely have two touchpads joined together that have all the letters of a QWERTY keyboard. Yes.
I mean, it's a brilliant bit of work. I think.
Definitely,
I mean, it just
seems
looks so cool.
Like
and
a
what's
good
even
gimmick.
Better is they do the old overlay gimmick. And by the way, Brent, this is another
Viva
one of those
Rasta.
Systems that falls into the, we had to have a keypad, a full freaking keypad on our joystick. We've talked about these before with the ColecoVision and the Intellivision, among others. This was something that had to be done. You know, it was a necessity to have these things. At least these had sort of a proper joystick on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
this looks like a controller that would be a little bit better than, say, the Intellivision, for example. You know, it's got a joystick on it, but it also had overlays that you could use, and they would flip. That was the brilliant part of this, because when you put the overlay on it, you don't even see the touchpad, and then so it doesn't matter that it's only half of a QWERTY keyboard stuck on there. Otherwise, it'd look kind of weird. You know, it would be kind of hard to get a handle on.
If you just have the joystick, right, and you're playing a two-player game, and the game's like, hit the R button, only one person has the R button,
yeah,
because the other part of the QWERTY keyboard doesn't have an R. So you have to have those overlays for that kind
good,
of stuff.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that, Brent, actually. This machine, and when we speak of the Dick Smith Wizard, we're sort of also talking about the Creative Vision, because they're pretty much the same. They only released 18 games for this bad boy, Brent. We've played probably a third of the title. I've played almost all of them now, but we've played a good chunk
right.
of the titles for this thing. Where do you put this in the pantheon of systems from back in that day? Where do these games fit into you?
Low.
Yo, you're
very low.
Really? I mean, I thought that they're somewhere in the ballpark of your Intellivision or ColecoVision. What you? I mean, maybe a step lower than that.
I would say for sure, the system as a whole, their game library as a whole, is below ColecoVision, and it's not. I mean, some of the games are tremendously fun. Police Chase was a solid game that we played during the marathon. That's some definitely, if someone wants to look up some Dick Smith Wizard gameplay, that's where you go. And the Rescue Copter game was okay, but I think we hit the peak of what the system had to offer.
Well, I'm not gonna fight you on Police Chase. I like that game. The helicopter game was cool. But again, having played some of these, they're almost every game on the system is a clone. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah.
There aren't that many original games.
We'll have no original here.
Yeah. I almost picked a game that was a Pingo clone where you played a caveman. I don't know if you played... Did you play that one? Yeah.
I did not play that one.
Oh, it was pretty good, you know. But they're all most of these games are sort of clone-ish. Really, the ones I'd say aren't. Really, there's only a couple that aren't clones at all, and one of them is that helicopter game. And they're mostly clones. But that much said, some of the clones are pretty fun, and I will say the system's colorful, and the system
yes.
can have decent music and sound effects. Which you wouldn't expect. I would put it, you know, like I said, I'd say the Creative Vision games fall somewhere between the Atari VCS, aka Atari 2600, and say the ColecoVision or Intellivision. They're in that they're a sweet spot there, but there were so few games released that you really have. It's hard to judge the system like its capabilities. You know what I mean? Don't you agree?
Wait, no, I completely disagree with that.
Oh, okay.
You have to judge a system based off of the things available for it. Otherwise, like the Sega Saturn would be one of the best systems of all time. Potential is great, but if you can't use the potential, what's it there for? And I don't necessarily think the Dick Smith Wizard failed in many regards, except one, and that one failing was a brutal failing.
I will say that the old Dick Smith wasn't cheap when it was released, and but way back in '82, it was going for in U.S. dollars here, it was going for $295. That's about almost $800 in today's money, in U.S. dollars, and the games are going for about $40 a piece, so they weren't cheap. You know, this in some ways, this thing price wise, you know, we used to have an Odyssey 2, as a lot of people know, Brent.
Still have it.
Graphically, this is probably a step or two above it, but it reminds me of the Odyssey 2 in terms of its distribution. We used to go to Lazarus, I believe, to get our Odyssey 2 games. And there was like a connection. It was like a department store connection with the Odyssey 2 that you didn't get with a lot of the other systems. You know what I mean? Like, you weren't going to see the Odyssey 2 at like Kmart, for example.
Correct.
You weren't going to see the Odyssey 2 in a game store. You're going to see the Odyssey 2 in just a couple department stores, just sort of like the Dick Smith Wizard. Plus, it was sort of a pricey in the day, and the games were sort of pricey in the day, too. Now, the Odyssey had a lot more than 18 games. So it was a more successful system, but I think there are some similarities there, and the gameplay on this is somewhere in the slightly above the ballpark of the O2. So, but still, an interesting system, and the whole Creative Vision family I find fascinating, because here's a company in Hong Kong that took a video game system and just sold it everywhere they could and named it whatever people wanted, changed the box, you know, changed whatever people wanted to get to make them happy.
So, absolutely.
I thought that was pretty slick. So they did, they did okay with the thing, and it ran for a while. And of course, we've talked about the Dick Smith System 80 on the show, which was Dick
Super
Smith's clone.
80.
Yeah, you loved that one, and I did too. That was one of my favorite shows. And the Dick Smith System 80 was a sort of a clone of a TRS-80 Model 2, Model 1, somewhere in that ballpark. So Dick Smith, he knew what he was doing. They would just slap their goofy-looking face and sticker on a machine, and there's your new Dick Smith machine. Good move. I mean, hey, you don't have to pay for research and stuff. You just get it done. So, not the worst idea. So, we were tasked, Brentster, with having a look at these games and coming up with two new games. Like I said, we'd already played several of these things, so we got to pick new games. I don't know about you, but I had to go through quite a few games before I found one I could probably sink my teeth into. Did you have any trouble?
No, my choice was pretty predetermined based off of games that I like and that my family likes and that I would like to see more of these type of games out there. So, you know, that's what I went with. Something
Is there
that
someone
I thought...
behind you with a gun? Because I know you didn't... I can tell you people... that Brent didn't pick his game of his own free will. He was cajoled. He was manipulated. He was threatened. So don't give me that crap. I know the true story. We'll let you talk about that when you get up. I will give the people time to wait. I'll take the first spin on this thing. Now, I looked long and hard, Brent. It's funny, the game I ended up picking, excuse me, I wasn't going to pick it, to be honest with you, but I ended up playing it, and I enjoyed it the most of the games that were available, so I said, heck, I'm going to go for it. So the game I ended up picking, y'all, was the game Auto Chase. The intriguing title draws you in, Brent. So Auto Chase, for those that aren't in the know, would be a Rally X clone, Brent. Well, can we be safe to say that?
Correct statement, yeah.
And now, they say, if you look at like a wiki, for example, they will call this your Rally. I've played Rally X, and I will say there are some similarities, but this is sort of its own game.
No, it's not.
You don't think so?
No, it's Rally X.
I think this game actually, in some ways, I like it more. I think graphically, it's an interesting game, so we'll get into it. If you're watching on the video machine, I actually went out and found the Creative Vision instruction manual here, And if you'll indulge me, I'd like to read the backstory for Auto Chase, because this is pivotal to your enjoyment of the game, Brent.
It is. It honestly is.
Yeah. So it starts off, you're in for the race of your life with Creative Vision's Auto Chase. You drive the getaway car. On holiday in an evil dictatorship country, you're contracted by freedom fighters and asked to deliver vital cash reserves to the free world. But first of all, just that opening sentence is ludicrous. But first, you have to drive around the city and pick up the money. What? What kind of plan is this? Unfortunately, the evil secret police have been notified and are out in force to stop you. The treacherous secret police. Out to get you at all costs, the secret police, in their specially marked cars, will try to collide with you and bring you to a halt. Your hidden weapons. Your mission is to pick up as much money as possible, and the Freedom Fighters have equipped your getaway car with special poison gas. So the secret police get too close. You can leave a trail of poison gas in front of them, which will make them all go off the road. It goes on like this. So, in case you were wondering what you were doing in this game, occasionally you will release a cloud of poison gas in a neighborhood. In case you want, just to make you feel better about things. No, even Spy Hunter didn't do that. I can't believe that. So, this game is a simple game. What you're presented is a big map. You drive your car on roads through neighborhoods, and you are trying to pick up money. Now, the Freedom Fighters aren't the wisest bunch, because they've just left money bags hither and yon in every road in town. And your job is to go and pick these up, these purple bags of money. As you go, now, the car is represented on an overhead map that scrolls along with you, so the map is bigger than the car. But luckily, your car is equipped with a radar screen. At the top of the screen, you've got a little radar rectangle that tells you where the bad guys' cars are, and it also tells you where the money's at. And it doesn't tell you how to get there, but so that you're on your own. And so it's in some ways it's on. This is a 1983 Grand Theft Auto, Brent. You're poisoning the neighborhood. You're covering car chases. They knew what they were doing. As you drive through these neighborhoods, you'll notice swimming pools and tennis courts and ponds, yeah. Houses. They've trees.
The neighborhood's doing okay.
Yeah, they did. This is a heck of a neighborhood. There's no city here. So it's all residential, too. So obviously this dictatorship didn't do too bad a job, because there looks like everybody's prospering to me.
I'm pretty sure that the Freedom Fighters might have just told you a fast one so you could go and rob some people.
Yeah. 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 I would just call this what it is. Run around, steal money from the rich, get away from the cops. That's really what this is. That makes a lot more sense. So... when your getaway car comes to the end of the map, basically, the road just goes off. There's a limit to where you can drive, because, like I said, you're basically in a large rectangular world. And you're chased by... And by the way, did you notice the symbol on these cars? It looks like a little P or something. I thought it was the cops before I read the backstory. You know, this is one of those games where you can tell someone just took... They were like, you know... They looked at the game like, we need a real original backstory, Bill, in accounting. Dick Smith demands you to come up with a backstory. And so some guy sat in his office for like a week, and he put this together. He's like, listen, evil dictatorship. It's a hot topic right now. You know, and so that's the game. Just made up a bunch of malarkey. So as you drive around town picking up these money bags, you've got to worry about three things. You've got to worry about obstacles. You've got to worry about the evil dictator's cronies in their cars. And you've got to worry about your gas. You've got a certain amount of gas to get through these levels. And if you don't make it, you die. You can hit the sides of the road or whatever. This is sort of made to where the car is always on the road. You can't, like, go through somebody's pool or something. You can't leave the road. But you can hit stuff like puddles that will pop up. And it'll screw you up, which I'd say that was a surprise the first time I did that.
Well, apparently your car is made of salt.
Yeah.
So.
No kidding. It's funny. I remember I thought, well, this will slow me down. It slowed me down all right.
Yeah.
The dictatorship came and got me. So when you get the last money bag, you've completed that level. It says that's rinse and repeat, Brent. How far into this did you get in terms of how many levels were you able to complete?
One.
I was. Oh, able you to did beat it one once. That's level. I was the same way. I could get past the first level, and that was it.
Yeah.
The sound is okay. It's okay. There's a tune, sort of that. You know, this isn't it's what I would call a treasure, a buffet for your ears. In fact, none of these games I've played were what I would call the best sounding. I know this thing can do good sound because I've heard little snippets of sound, but for the most part, the sound's not that good on these. I will say this is not the worst sound we hear today. That's for darn sure.
Not while you're talking.
The graphics look good. I mean, overall, you can tell what's happening. The poison gas is it looks like a cloud of exhaust or whatever that comes out of your car. But overall, this is just sort of your plain Jane basic run away from the bad guys game. What did you think of this one?
Well, I thoroughly enjoy Rally X.
Yeah.
I think that that was a well thought out. It took Maze games, which of course were popular in the time it was released, and it did something different enough to make it stick out. And the speed of it and having the radar and, you know, I mean, the concept was kind of goofy. You're just hitting flags, checkpoints, and whatnot. But I think the point system, the way they have it where you collect the flags in the right order for more points, all that's gold. What this is someone played Rally X and they said, man, this is a good time, but they didn't understand why it was a good time. And when they remade the game, they didn't get it all. It's Rally X without some of the parts that makes Rally X fun. For an example, you have unlimited poison gas. You can just sit there and spam it over and over and over, and there's no detriment for doing that. You lose fuel faster. You don't have a limited amount of it. You just do it. The map is okay. There are some sections where it doesn't actually line up correctly, which Rally X did the same thing. So it's not that big of a deal. But in this, it feels a little bit weird, a little bit wonky. The enemies in this are not smart. Basically, the way you die, or at least the way I died, was having one come down a street I didn't know existed or I didn't see and ram me in the side. Or they chase me down into basically a dead end where I'm going straight and then the road suddenly ends and I have to kind of cut back and they get me that way. But a lot of it was okay. I'm not going to hate on the game. It was okay. If I had never played Rally X and then I played this, I would think this game was okay. But having played Rally X and knowing that this is trying to be Rally X, it did not add anything and only took away from the original formula. So for me, I would rate this on like, I certainly wouldn't go out and seek it. I wouldn't. If the emulator was sitting there and the game was loaded up, I would probably play it, but that's about it. I wouldn't go looking for this one.
There's one thing this has that Rally X doesn't have, Brent.
What's that?
Eight exciting game variations.
Well, you're right. The Dicksmith Wizard definitely does get fast.
They give you options, my friend. I like these old systems that let you have game options. So, And of course, you've got the first option just is the getaway. The second option, I'm just going to read how these are described. Option two, suicide speed chase with secret police on your trail. Be careful. I don't know what the difference is. Maybe they just come at you harder. The third game, high speed chase with lots of secret police, and the money bags are invisible.
Well, that's,
and it says here,
okay.
So you won't know if you're doing well or not. That sounds horrible. And then The fourth game is the invisible money bags and the suicide speeds. So I guess they crank up the speed.
Yeah, it gets fast.
Five, six, seven, and eight are two-player mode with those. So that's kind of neat. So you do have your, and you get that. You get 10 money bags in each neighborhood. Each is worth 50 points. If you get all 10, you get 500 bonus points, Brent. The big money. So, yeah. Overall, and by the way, you could forget about finding this stuff on eBay. I looked it up. I couldn't find any reviews of this, but we did get one of our Discord people dropped us a review on this. If I may go back and read. And we got a couple reviews. We've got one here from our good buddy Frodo and L. He writes, "Nice little Rally X clone. While the cars look a bit childish, the game, unlike the original, has some scenery graphics, which make good use of the 16 colors the system has available. Controlling the car is easy and direct, making this a fun play. There are differences, of course, to the original, but nothing that detracts from the enjoyment. With one big exception, after a while, the driving music gets on my nerves. Give me an engine sound anytime, 8 out of 10. The driving music is almost like this, it's almost random sounding. It almost sounds like a song, but I'm not sure what that song is.
And repetitive is all get out.
Our good buddy Graham W. Vebke chimed in, Brent, at the 11th hour. It is definitely a Rally X type game, and the car looks more like a bug than a vehicle. But I believe it's trying to represent a bad guy mask vehicle, and you're being chased by the big P vehicles. P for dictatorship, by the way. This is a very colorful game, which plays exceptionally well and has decent music, for a while anyway, because it doesn't change. If I had any criticisms of the game, it would have been good to have some sound effects other than the collection bells, the ability to turn the music off, and the chorus can be frustrating to navigate, especially if you run out of gas. That is frustrating. Another decent game for its time, 7 out of 10 from Graham. So a popular game, but a popular choice. I doubt you will have this much success with your game. So, but overall, I enjoyed it. It is what it is. It's a simple game. It's no police chase. Let's just put it that way. But it's not bad. Although, hilariously, you could have called this game that. It would have made more sense. But,
way more sense, yeah.
Evil Dictatorship, I'm buying it. I'm buying that, Brent. Now, you had a look at another game. You want to talk to us about what you end up choosing?
I definitely went a different direction because I guess all the directions are different when you're talking about the Dick Smith Wizard. And I chose Locomotive. Now, Locomotive is a completely original game that doesn't rip off anything except that game it tries to rip off, which would be Burger Time. Anyone who listens to the show, they will know my wife is obsessed with Burger Time. By far, her favorite game. She plays it obsessively whenever we have the computer club nights. And we have a fun back and forth high score battle that takes place. So when I saw that this was a Burger Time clone, I thought, you know what? Maybe this is another game that she can get behind, and you know the concept's already there, so she could just jump right into it. No. We're not going to do that, because I'm going to go ahead and talk about Locomotive's worst problem right now. Its sound is a war crime. I believe...
Yes, it is horrible.
I believe I might have earned a Purple Heart by suffering through as many levels of this as I played. Holy cow, it is the worst and most piercing thing I have ever tried to endure. It is that bad.
It's like the creators of this played some real early Spectrum games, and like one of them said, "Hold my beer. We can do better." And they went to work.
Yes, absolutely. This might have the worst sound of any single game I've ever played, because it is that piercing, and it is that, I mean, the game stops all action anytime that it's going to play one of its attack sounds, and it forces you to listen and concentrate on it. And then the game kind of picks back up and lets you keep playing.
To be fair, they're all attack sounds if you're playing. You feel you're repeatedly under attack.
That's true. So what is Locomotive? Like I said before, Locomotive is a Burger Time clone where instead of trying to build burgers, you are assembling a locomotive. And instead of being attacked by different food items, it has you being attacked by possessed tools. We're talking hammers, we're talking pliers, we're talking saws, and screws. All this, they're coming at you and they're going to get you. So you have to assemble these locomotives by dropping the pieces down the scaffolding so you can ride the train. And I didn't know this until I read the manual, which we're going to bust out here in a moment because it's worth it.
That's how you make a train, right? Just throw the parts off the scaffold?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how you assemble a train.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I thought everybody knew that. So you have to assemble the train to escape the evil factory that you're a prisoner of. Unfortunately, every locomotive that you assemble just takes you to a different part of the factory where you assemble another locomotive.
So it's like if Schindler's List and the Twilight Zone had a baby.
So a few things we need to get out of the way. Of course, this was for the Creative Vision and the Dick Smith Wizard, and also they had other alternative names for the system, the Laser 2001 and the Manager, all depending on what region you sold it in. This was released in 1983. The manufacturer was VTech, so the people who did the whole thing in Bodega, and the distributor for us was the Dick Smith Electronics. So, you get the best manual of video game history and also the worst manual of video game history. The explanation of what you're doing is you are a prisoner in the train factory. The only way out is to build your own train. You have to run across dangerous catwalks high in the air and drop all the right parts onto the tracks below in the right order if you want to survive. Be careful, even the tools are dangerous. The hammers, the wrenches, and even nails left around the factory are enchanted and will come to life and try to hammer, wrench, and nail you. All you have is your oil can to destroy them. So in this game, the pepper is replaced with an oil can, and instead of neutralizing your enemy for a moment, it actually kills them, makes them go off the screen. You can still drop parts from up high down onto a tool and kill them that way. However, the trick of lowering a part onto a piece you're getting ready to drop in an attempt to make it fall farther does not work. They will just come right across the piece. They don't fall down with it. So that was really unfortunate. Now, Aaron, did you have a chance to flip through the different difficulties for this game?
I inadvertently flipped through a few, but I don't know what they do. I'll be honest with you. I was captivated by the first game so much that I didn't bother to play the variants.
Well, level one, which is where the game starts off at, they have it rated as difficult. And then it goes up to eight. So it goes from difficult to real hard to even harder to impossible to nearly impossible to even less possible, crazy, and then finally suicidal. And this would not fly today. I want to read the description of suicidal. Everything moves at supersonic speed. You can end up in either factory, and you've got to keep your eye on how the other player is doing. May as well shoot yourself now. At least you won't be disgraced by being bounced out of the game so soon. Wow. So the game actually, the manual tells you to kill yourself.
Wow. That is a harsh game.
Brutal. Probably, please, if you're feeling that down, please seek help. Do not listen to the Dick Smith Wizard Manual.
Also, if you see animated nails and hammers, you probably got a problem.
So, overall, this game has got a lot of problems. Every time you walk across a piece to drop it down, the game actually stops. Like, you cannot move. It plays a horrible sound, and then that piece falls to the next level. And in a game all about dropping pieces from one level to another, it absolutely kills gameplay. Every piece you run across, you have to stop. Also, this is the same story as Rally X. This was someone who played Burger Time but didn't understand what made Burger Time fun. Instead of all of the awesome scoring that goes into how Burger Time scores with dropping multiple foods, multiple levels, gives you multiple points, the scoring of this is very flat. Every time you make a train, complete a level, you get 1,000 points. Every tool you squash, you get 100 points. And every time you drop a piece of train down, you get 100 points. That is the extent of the scoring. The level design on this has, instead of being able to walk platform to platform, there will usually be a very small difference in height that will make you go up or down, which that's fine. But the controls in this are not tight. It is actually quite difficult to move from high to low at some times. So this is by far the worst Dick Smith Wizard game I've played. What do you think about it, Aaron?
I think that's a bit harsh. I don't think, actually, yeah. I kind of, part of me enjoyed this game. The part of me that's a sadist.
Yeah.
Let me go over with the things I enjoyed about this. You're building a train. That's fun. That's kind of neat. I don't like the prisoner in a factory story. That kind of brings me down. I thought this guy wanted to be here. So that no. I wasn't too keen on that. The truth of the matter is, they you're right when you say that they sort of, they tried to make a Burger Time, but they didn't quite understand how Burger Time works. The ability to, like, have the enemy get on your little piece when you drop it and have it go down two levels or three levels, that's part of the fun of it. So when you can't do that, that blows. Something else that I hated was the fact that the way this structure is built, there are several areas. I'm looking at the screen right now that I see five areas where there's just a little hiccup in how you walk, and where it's not straight across. You have to go up just like a couple pixels, and those suck because moving up and down this is hard enough without having to negotiate these little tiny breaks in the flow of the play. I don't like those. Those were no good. The oil gimmick instead of the salt, it's funny because everything you do in this game stops the entire game. That's another thing. When you distribute the oil on the stuff, and by the way, it seems like the tools that would want oil. It doesn't sound like that would hurt them. But they go away, and it's like a little animation if you're dumping oil on them. And it just goes on. Everything in this game disrupts the flow of the game. Everything.
Absolutely.
And so it's hard to get a rhythm going. That's never good. They do give you a lot of oil. It's good. I like the gimmick. They've got your factory there with a street sign beside it. There's trees. Which I like. They give it's actually not an ugly game. I think it looks pretty good. Your guy looks pretty good. The music is an abomination, or the sound, or whatever you want to call that. I mean, it was sent down. It was sent up from the Hades to cause man pain. I mean, it is not good. But I mean, I've heard worse. But it's bad.
No,
the tools are animated pretty well. They stroll around. They've got little feet or whatever. That's kind of cool. When you start a level, when you end a level, there's a little train noise and the train rolls in. That's kind of cool. So I mean, it's, as a Burger Time clone, it's playable. I think I played this just about as much as I played my game, and with about the same level of enjoyment. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and bury this game. I thought it was okay, but is it as good as, say, if if you've got the choice between this and just playing like some straight up Burger Time or even Burger Time on the Intellivision, man, I would darn sure play the Burger Time just because it's just a more well made game. But in terms of the graphics and stuff, I think this is a pretty decent looking game. I mean, didn't you think it was at least an attractive game, more or less?
No, absolutely. The appearance of this game is great. The use of colors, you know, I mean, some of the train parts kind of mushed together, and I kind of wish of the two factories there were more differences in the two trains, but at least they do give you some differences. The screws don't really look like screws. That's the only tool that you really question what it is until
it
you
looks like a witch's
hear
hat.
What it is. Well, no, the saws look, yeah, the saws look kind of hat-like, but you can tell they're saws. But graphically, I think this game is absolutely fine. It's just, I don't know when I would say, hey, let's play some Locomotive, because the scoring elements aren't there, the enjoyment factor isn't there, the sound isn't there, the controls. It just missed on so many levels, I couldn't enjoy it. And I played this extensively. I would loop it like 8 or 9 screens in. I know my score was above 10,000 when I lost.
That's impressive, because it's not an easy game. You know, did you think this was easier than like a home port of Burger Time or harder?
On difficulty one, this game was pretty playable. All the other difficulties, the tools are so fast, and since you can't throw oil up or down, you can only throw it left or right. And if you get touched, any pixel of you touches any pixel of a bad guy, you die. It's no forgiving at all.
Is there a way to replace oil? I don't remember ever seeing a pickup.
No. The only way to get more oil is to die, and your new life will have a replenished supply of oil.
I mean, you need to use oil a lot too. It gives you a lot, and that's the key to beating the game. And just the ability. You know, we haven't got to play with the Dick Smith controller, but I was playing with a good gamepad, and I still had trouble negotiating some of these corners. So this is one where I would wonder if the controller would help or hurt it, you know, if the actual controller. But
right.
You know, I kind of dug it. I think amongst the games we've put on the Dick Smith, I'd say the Police Chase game was probably the best. I would say the Pingo
Absolutely.
Clone, the Caveman, was pretty good. And I would put both these games up in the top probably 4 or 5 of the ones I've played. Of course, there's a few that I haven't played yet. I tried out soccer. I tried out, what was the other one I tried? I tried another one out that was, oh, it was like a Defender clone. And it was, although, again, this is another game where I kept reading that this was a Defender clone. But whoever wrote these little reviews, like you see on Wiki and stuff, clearly they didn't play the game because it looks like Defender. But there's no one to pick up. You're just literally going around and shooting with a radar screen. So that's not a Defender clone. And I should mention before we move on that the Defender clone and the Undersea Adventure were the exact same game with just different graphics. I did notice that. So when you say there's 18 games, you're probably being a little generous because a couple of them are the exact same game with just different graphics. I guess with all that said, this one I'd put in the higher element, the higher area of the games, just because it's there's a game here, so I think that's pretty good. Did you get any price on eBay, reviews on this, anything like that?
Are you kidding?
Okay.
No, there was no finding.
Everybody wants to know, what did your wife think?
Oh, she did not play this. Are you kidding me? I gotta sleep with that woman. I ain't making her play this game.
Well, she made you pick it. I just assumed she would want to try
it. She didn't make me pick it.
She made you pick it.
I was inspired to pick it.
Yeah, right. Let's see what our Discord folks had to say about this one. Frodo writes, "This is actually a remarkably playable variation on Burger Time. Unlike in Burger Time, I can actually make it through more than 2 levels. For a 1983 game, the graphics are actually quite nice, and the sound is decent enough to my, and this is an important aspect, to my specky trained ears." I just mentioned in the chat that this wasn't, if you had a specky, you could get past this, and clearly that falls into this with Frodo NL, because that's the way he is. The only very slight issue I have with the is with the movement. It's too easy to overshoot the platforms or climbing the ropes. After a bit of practice, one gets used to this, though. 7.5 out of 10. So, which I think is a pretty good review. We also got Graham W. Vebke. He writes, a game that reminds me of Burger Time and is sort of like Hard Hat Mac, too. Hard Hat Mac, that's a game I hadn't thought about. Cross with the movie Groundhog Day. I don't mind this game, but the controls are not overly accurate, especially when you want to move up. The art is colorful, lots of bright pink and green. The sprites all animate fine, though the way through the way he carries the wrench looks like a little weird after a while. That's true. The game has some really high-pitched sounds, so it's not to be played that late at night without my parrot screaming back at me and waking up the entire house. A decent game, 7 out of 10. I would suggest to you, Graham, that if you've got a screeching parrot, then this sound was probably music to your ears, my friend. Yeah. Screeching parrot's got nothing on this game, man. That's darn sure. You know, speaking of screeching parrots, Brent, that's an aspect that we do not have this week on the wheel. Let's fire this thing up. Wow. There you go, buddy.
That might be the worst transition I've ever heard.
Well, I aims to please. So, Brent, this week we've added a couple of new pieces here as I hold the wheel up yonder camera here. So, what we've got here is we've got the Game Gear we've added, and we've also added, this is something you need to pay attention to. This is the chat subject choice. Brent, yes. Tell them what happens if that comes up.
If that comes up, the chat will choose a subject matter, you know, maybe games involving cows or games where you're a peanut vendor.
I can think of games involving cows with a peanut vendor. All right, Brent, you ready to spin this thing?
Well, I'm going to... Do you want me to...
Here we go. And we got 1985 NES games.
Oh, okay.
1985 NES games.
What do you think? Good year for the NES.
What's that?
Good year for the NES.
Well, I wouldn't know. It's funny because we did that NES debate a while back, and so I have an intimate knowledge of that year's NES games now. So that should be kind of fun. So next week, join us for 1985 NES games. It's funny, we're only moving forward a few years from this week. We'll be see if there's a major change between the games, Brent. I'm serious. I mean, that's interesting to me. So, Brent, it's been an interesting week in the Amigos retro gaming family. We announced on Friday's show that a couple of our shows are being shuttered. Unfortunately, the Boat, our good buddy John Boat of Carshaller, has got himself a new job, a much more demanding job, and he's going to have to cut back his schedule of fun time to concentrate on work time. And so we've had to stick on hiatus the 1200XL Atari show, the Coco show, and our Sinclair, which is a real bummer. All those shows I really enjoyed, and I'm going to miss them. We are soldiering on here on ARG, and of course the Amigos, Everything Amiga podcast will also go on unabated. And we've got something cooking we're going to announce next week to hopefully lift the spirits of the folks who's shows were put on hiatus, and we're going to hopefully add a little more content to the channel to sort of come up and satisfy people who lost the show that was a favorite of theirs. It was a real bummer, Brent, but it's also bittersweet because the Boat did land a real nice new job.
Yeah, I mean, it unfortunately, it was time. He had an opportunity to really better himself, and that's what it's all about. And we love doing these shows, and hopefully, you know, the shows that we have left, we'll be able to really hold on to and make as good as possible. And hopefully next week, if some things fall into places, we'll be able to make an announcement that will make the fans of the 1200 and the TRS-80 and the Spectrum show a little bit happier. We just have to see if everything works out the way we want it to.
I bet it will. So, we also want to mention, thank you very much. We got some new sponsors this week for the show. We appreciate you guys, and we'll be those will be coming up in our closing segment here. Brent, any final thoughts before we put this thing to bed?
You know, I know it sounded like I was giving the Dick Smith Wizard a lot of hate today, and that's probably unfounded because the two games we played during the marathon, I thoroughly enjoyed. So just like any system, you've got your high games, you've got your low games. For me, I think these were the lower games for the system. I think the ones we played during the Thanks for Giving Marathon were the upper echelon. So, you know, we'll have to see how it goes. If we ever come back this way again, maybe we can pick out two new games and get two more favorites.
If we come back this way again, we're going to be in trouble, my friend. It occurred to me that we both could have picked that Defender clone, and we would have both been reviewing the identical game. I thought to myself, that would have been something right there, because I had no way of knowing. I just had to stumble upon him. Well, I enjoyed the Dick Smith Wizard. As you know, I love the whole Dick Smith line of computers, just because I like seeing Dick's smiling face, colorfully looking up, and with the hand-drawn logos. It never fails to amuse. So, thanks for joining us, everybody. Everybody in the chat, we appreciate you guys coming out. And we will be back next week with 1985 NES games. Should be a lot of fun. We will leave you with our support video. And until next week, arrivederci.
Thank you for being with us today. We really hope you enjoyed the show. And a special thanks goes out to our Anchor.fm supporters. Hermsky, Terry Howard, John Schaller, Graham W. Vetke, Anthony Jarvis, Frank Rodolph, and Chris Foles! Would you like to become an Anchor.fm supporter and help keep ARG spinning? You can do so by visiting anchor.fm/ARG-presents. Don't want to explain another bill in the credit card? That's okay too. You can really help us out by leaving us a positive iTunes and Spotify review. Be sure to visit us on YouTube and Twitch at Amigos Retro Gaming. And you can always find us at everythingamiga.com. Have a question? Want to make a comment? Maybe you have a wheel suggestion? You can contact us directly at argpresents@mail.com. Shout outs to Duncan Styles for all of ARG's vector graphics, and BarkBit for our amazing tunes. Remember, you can catch us live every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. EDT. ARG Presents will be back next week to spin that wacky wheel and make that crazy deal. Thanks for joining us.